Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, so of course it's summertime and coming towards the end of July. So things are a little bit quiet in the sports world, but there are still some issues that we can talk about.
Yeah, Damian Lillard still hanging out there.
Don't look good for Damian going anywhere at this point in time.
You can't demand the market when they took $250,000 from somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Your boss, you tell your boss I'm ready to leave, and you tell me you're going to tell your boss where you going.
I don't think so.
I don't care how many games you won me. Fair play is not good without equal value.
No.
Fair exchange is a fair exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. It's not personal. It's just business.
Yep.
That's how business is ran. I'm going to get, you know, the most draft capital that I can get in
my
the trade.
Asset.
Yeah.
He's an asset. He's a franchise player that's worth a lot, that has a lot of potential, that's a blockbuster seat filler.
Mm-hmm.
From a small market to a big market, like if he go to like a New York, it's over.
It'll
change the whole landscape of the NBA.
Yes,
just
it will.
His ticket sales.
So I imagine, you know, some of these GMs is working overtime trying to come up with a package, a three-team, four-team deal possibly in order to make this thing work. But by no means is Portland going to give him away.
No, they're
not going to give him away. So
they're not going to do that. And then just looking at – I was looking at, I think, a Twitter post or something the other day, and I seen Laquan Barkley and the kicker from the Baltimore Ravens, and they compared their salary. It was like 1.8 for the running back, and it was 2.2 for the kicker. And I was like, well, that's a disposable position, the kicker. So then basically the running back is disposable now?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Of, Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith are over the running the football so many times.
Yep.
Open the pass game up, it's over. So pass game first. Let your quarterback be your running back.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, look at the Kansas City model.
Yep.
Okay. That used to be Christian Okoye used to be with Kansas City.
6'3" running
Nigerian
back.
Nightmare, they called him. You know, and those days are just not relevant anymore in the NFL, man. And I was listening to one of the sports shows. He said, you know, they always say, don't let your kids grow up to be cowboys. They said, don't let your kids grow up to be running backs in the NFL because they're not going to get paid like they used to.
Man, you're
you know,
right.
Especially at 29 years old. When you, you know, at that age and running back, man, that's your best years are behind you. Example, the guys that got their bag, right? I think we talked about this before. The guy in Dallas, right?
Oh, yeah, Prescott.
And the running back from Ohio State,
Elliott. Yeah.
Elliott,
yes, sir.
Right? Have not been productive since. Le'Veon Bell.
Nothing.
As he's an example.
Dropped off.
You know.
Planted.
Yeah, these guys, they hold out, get the big bag.
I bet he went on, it's like, I wish I was with the Jets now.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have kind of set the market standards for running backs. And
don't pay them because they're not going to do what they're supposed to do.
You give them that rookie contract, pay them, you know, a decent salary. But when you get past that 5 and 6 year mark in the NFL as a running back.
Too many miles on them.
They're looking at college players now, man. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
you know, so, but, you know, everybody said nothing but good things about Barkley as far as his attitude.
Work ethic.
Yeah. Yeah, team player, locker room kind of guy. Even my nephew, I asked him about it. And he said, no, he's a class guy, man. He's a class guy. And it's, again, it's not personal. It's all about business.
I'm going to clear my head like the same money.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I just got on the squad. I'm making your type of money. You an all-star type of running back.
But I think the franchise tag, if they get him for the franchise tag, is still like $14 million a year.
Okay. They
got to
figure it out then. Yeah, right now they got to get that tag on them.
$14 million, man. I'm not going to go somewhere else. $14 million, Doc. Still buy a lot of groceries.
Yeah, 1.8 ain't gonna cut it right now.
No.
Yeah. But then, speaking of, you know, being in sports, I know the NBA Summer League ended.
Who won that?
The Monty Bates squad, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cleveland Cavaliers. I missed the playoffs, man.
So Monty Bates already making waves.
Okay.
Like they said, he was gonna be possibly the best pick. Because he's not scared of a shot. That he
No, he ain't seen a shot he don't like.
Yeah. You know, so like, he's in that space. He's building that capacity to do those things. But then when you look at it, you're like, this guy, this kid is amazing. But then in that same space, I'm looking at my Detroit Pistons with Thompson and Sasser.
Yeah,
did they get Sasser?
They finished pretty good now, from what I understand.
My thing is, how did they wait to the semifinals? So how did they get Sasser from Houston? Because he is a ticking offensive juggernaut at guard.
No joke.
He had like 40 the other night, and it looked like nobody could do nothing with him. And then Thompson, the Nigerian Jamaican.
Okay.
He's got twin brother that play for Houston. They rookies.
No, the Thompson kids. Yeah.
I watched the YouTube video on those guys, them going through some workouts and how they carry themselves, the music they listen to. I'm like, wow, the high-character guys are coming back.
Yeah.
And another guy I love, Tony, I'm going to say this, and we probably could continue for sports, is Scoot, the number two pick.
In Portland.
Yes.
Right. That's
if I was Damon Lillard, I might change my mind. So I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. They family is brilliant. It's seven kids, right? Out of Atlanta, not out of Georgia, but Marietta, Georgia.
Oh, Marietta.
Yep, mm-hmm. Real small place, right? But hood, got your crime, got your parents, mom, a nurse or some dad work for some company. They bought a Fitness 360, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a sport house here or like a YMCA or a Big Brothers, Big Sisters, a Boys and Girls Club type of gym format. So when he was playing in high school, he found himself working out with the Trey Youngs and all these guys because they was coming to this 360 gym. They opened it during COVID.
Oh, okay.
So they had to shut it down. So they had these personalized workouts with people that lived in Atlanta. And he was in high school. He working out with the NBA players.
Wow.
In his setting. And I'm looking at this business model. Dad working him out all the time. Dad, phenomenal. Mom seeing the business model. He graduates high school. They say, you going to the G League, right? For United, some type of team. He get $1 million signing bonus. He play for the money. Get a Puma deal. I'm looking like, whoa, this brother is already set. And then they did an interview with him. The character he displayed, I thought he was probably 30 years old.
Really?
And then his body, he looked like a Zion, but like don't carry all that extra weight. It's like he eat right.
Yeah, no body fat.
The way he talked to my, he out of $1 million, he still got $540,000. And how they got an AAU team already.
Oh, wow.
That he's speaking to and working with. I was like, the franchise of 360 Fitness, they about to be putting one up everywhere in honor of him.
They finna blow it up, man.
And Puma, I'm like, he already set for life.
Puma? He signed with Puma?
Yep.
Okay.
He set for life. He was working out with Stephen Curry the other day on YouTube or something. I was like, damn it, don't leave. You got a point guard now. Don't leave. We can trade some other pieces and put some people around your own too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think this Damon probably fed up and he listening to Kevin Garnett and them and everything. Just be the guy that never won one, but just be Dame time.
Yep.
What's wrong? Karl Malone ain't struggling. John Stockton not struggling.
I don't
Charles
think so.
Barkley not struggling.
Oh, he ain't struggling at all.
Right? So those guys that didn't ever win one, you think they mad? Patrick Ewing, you think he mad? No.
No. They still living a good life.
And they legends in the places they play.
Yes, they
Karl Malone will walk
and
around all day.
And it's still relevant in the sports world, right? They still get these jobs and these endorsements and
Marky
make connections. Marky Sanford,
not a deal with TNT. He ain't care about it. They make a joke about a championship?
No. Yep. That's good. PR that y'all can talk about me. Go ahead.
Yep.
Got the cash I'm getting? That's all they worry about. He said, hey, he talked about him and said, well, you never graduated from Auburn when he was at Auburn playing basketball. Yeah. He said, that's okay.
I get $5 million back.
But I employ a lot of people did graduate.
And he give a lot of money back. Charles is doing good. And then the last thing, Stephen Curry, probably since 2000, the first active athlete winning that golf.
Oh, yeah. That was
hole in one. And then the eagle at the end. Like,
the Century Golf Tournament in Lake Tahoe.
He hit three-pointers in the golf game.
It was I had so much fun watching that. I said, I'm going next year. I'm going to watch this, man. These guys just playing golf and having fun.
Because it got to be low-key. It got to be too expensive. It's just like athletes out there just hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to get your tickets and stuff ahead of time. Don't wait for the last minute. But, this guy could have probably went pro, man, and playing golf.
He Curry. Will go pro when he retired from the NBA.
Yeah, he can play the senior league or whatever. Yeah, he got a great game.
Man, he nice.
Yeah, he done paid for some good lessons, I tell you that.
I seen him play with Jordan before. I ain't never heard nothing after that. Mike was like, no, I ain't going to bet him.
Mike ain't going to mess with that.
He ain't be cooking me.
Damn, he's sweet, man. I had a ball. I enjoyed that.
I ain't going to bet him golf with you. But speaking of – like winnings and money and all that. We continue in our segment from last week talking about how to get out of debt. You know, it's still happening, it's still climbing.
Oh, no doubt, man. People still going into debt. We did talk about figure out how much debt you have, which is the very first step. And we talked about the snowball, the avalanche, and the blizzard methods of dealing with your debt. And the next topic was to consolidate your debt. And that's something that you know a lot about, yeah, because that's one of the things that you do in your line of business, is to implore people to, you know, consolidate.
Make
so
that
you're
decision.
Not so you're not paying here, 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 and here. You know,
I'm gonna say something, and Tony, it's a when it comes to debt, getting out of debt, it's a mindset, man. It's a real mindset where when you start looking at your life and you like, it's time to clean house,
mm-hmm,
or clean people out, you gotta really be critical about that decision, because you can fix your credit all day. That's what I've learned, right?
Okay, you can fix your credit.
I can fix my credit. But getting out of debt and consolidating is a life-altering decision, because you're looking at the credit you utilized that, mm-hmm, you probably overutilized,
okay,
and you got a lot of interest coming at you, and you're like, oh, I can afford the payment, right? I can afford the minimum payment on these six.
Yeah, minimum payment, yeah, right.
And I'm doing all right, my score's still high. But you just really a paycheck away from missing that $500 payment a month,
okay,
to those six credit cards or whatever your case may be. So when you look at a consolidation, you look at it wiping out that history, and probably, I wouldn't say being in a space of the credit score dropping. Yeah, it's going to drop. But then once it comes off a credit report, it comes off at that number. So, like, I'll give you an example when you talk about consolidation. Let's say somebody has a credit card debt. They say, I got to get rid of it. They got two of them. Or four of them, right? And it's a total of probably 20 grand. And it's out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I done seen most at 20,000. So then they say, person say, these four credit cards, it's 15,000. I got these two, that's 5,000. I want to keep these two and get rid of the 15,000, right?
Okay.
So you got two that you had a history with that you still got credit on.
Mm-hmm.
But these four over here with 15 grand, you about to unload that 15 grand, which is probably at an interest rate of 16% in the book, right?
Yeah.
So it's there, it's adding up every day, and you're like, they saying they're going to help me out. One credit card, not all four of them,
right?
So when you get to a space where you get rid of all four of them, that's when the phone calls happen, that's when the things start happening, and then it go to 60, it goes 30-day late, 60-day late, 90-day late, 180 days late, and then it says default, but then it gets to the point of that settlement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they get in that settlement space, you settle, and then it goes and how you pay. And then it say settle, but then it gets to the point and say paid. When it's paid, that's when that letter is produced, where you submit it to the company, and they wipe that debt off. But then you just use your credit-to-debt ratio. That's all you lose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you gain a positive history because that debt is gone completely.
Okay.
But you made a decision to not compromise your lifestyle, but to stop doing the dumb stuff to yourself.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. And sometimes life happens to us. And I'm using the word dumb on the radio. I'm not saying that. But there are some things that we do. When I say, because if I know about it, I was a young man once upon a time with no experience about debt.
And yep, crediting.
Credit card's going to do it. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to buy a plane ticket. I'm going to go on a trip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can pay it. I got this raise coming. Oh, no. That's a trap.
Yeah.
That means you trick. So that's one way of getting out of debt and consolidation. It's better than bankruptcy.
Yes, it is.
Better than bankruptcy. You think about bankruptcy, do not do it. I'd rather have you consolidate and say, hey, 24 months, 36 months, 30 months, 48 months, not 120.
Right.
Yep. 120 months or 30 months, which one you want
to
do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the next one was like to when to settle your debt, right?
Yeah.
That's always an option, is to settle.
When to
call
settle.
Up and try to figure out, you know, let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal.
What you got to have.
How old is it, right? Like, look, this is 3 years old. I say I owe $5,000. I ain't had this kind of job in a while. I ain't making that kind of money no more. This happened. I got sick. I got a divorce. I got whatever, right?
Yeah.
Life happens.
Life
to me.
Happens.
I got an accident. I didn't pay all my medical bills. Look out for it, brother.
Yeah.
Right? And you want to, I would always tell people, when you settle, you want to do a pay to delete if you can, if they allow that.
Okay.
And I pay to delete.
Once okay.
I give you this settlement, I need you to give me a letter that says it's going to report to all three credit bureaus. That's going to be a pay to delete.
Cool.
And community, this is free information. Because I know I get text messages from time to time. John, I need you help with my credit. And I say, all right, I need to see what's on your credit report. Oh, I don't want you to see that.
Well, I can't like, help you then.
It's
man.
Like your kid report card.
Yeah.
Oh, let me see your grades. I'm doing good. Mom, I'm doing good. Let's see your grades. I'm doing good. Ain't nobody call Smoothie and no emails, do you?
Nope. No, it's like a client lawyer relationship. You got to tell me the truth.
Yep.
Okay, we'll figure out how we're going to spend this thing going forward.
Yeah, because it's a we. It's a we relationship. It's not you.
Yeah.
You might have made the mistake to deal with the debt and the credit, but when you ask for help, people are not going to mishandle you and abuse you. I know I'm not.
Right. And you got to just be upfront and honest in order for you to get a very clear indication as to where they're at.
Yep.
And the next point is to stop adding to your debt load, right?
Yeah.
Stop
gotta,
adding to it.
Got
to
stop.
So, like, unlike credit cards and accounts from online shopping, makes it convenient as possible to buy something online so that you have to pause and think about your spending.
Here go another trap within that.
Unlink all your credit cards.
Yeah, with one that one point you just brought up, right? How to limit your spending. When you walk into a store or now on the internet, and you buying something and you get to that box and it's a box below that or above it that say, hey, go and apply for this MasterCard.
Yep, you get this much off of your
20% off, 30% off. Like when you go to a department store, they ask you that question, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest mistake you can do because what it does is, Tony, it gives you an inquiry on your credit report.
Yep.
So imagine you like shopping. You got the money, you got a decent job, and you pay all your bills, and you go on a shopping spree in Chicago or wherever, Beverly Hills, you hanging out, and everywhere you go, they say you get 20% off. And then you just apply, do all those applications.
Pocket full of credit cards.
Yep. But then the inquiries hit on your credit report all those times. That lower your score.
It's going to lower your score.
Then it look like, oh, this person out here, they trying to utilize too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to make you not credit worthy, credit unworthy.
And one of the topics under that, stop adding to your debt, it says take cash to the store. Paying in cash is old school.
Yeah, it's old school.
And inconvenient. But you are less likely to splurge when you're only using cash because it's just so much you got in your hand. We talked about that before. I'd rather have a fold than a swipe.
Or a tap.
Yeah, or the tap. Now, they didn't spice it up. Now, all you got to do is tap it. You ain't got to swipe it no more.
Walk past it. Do a circle around. When you're going to the grocery store, you just walk through the door. You bought this candy bar in your pocket. You're like, because you got an account with that company. I know the West Coast got it. East Coast got it. Those stores that you can go in, like Whole Foods. You can walk in.
Yeah.
And put something in the basket. And it's like.
Scan it as you walk out.
Yeah. You charged.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I ain't get no receipt or nothing.
Well, email you your receipt.
So now you don't have. And my wife do that to me, too. Like, when she buys stuff, she keep all these receipts in the. In the council. Because she still understand a tangible way of having.
Mm-hmm.
I spent this money, I got this receipt, right? She's into that exchange. Steve.
Okay.
But imagine you going somewhere, you tap, you don't have no receipt. You going somewhere, you don't have it on record unless you like economic.
You got to go online to get it.
Yeah, information assassin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can use your computer and you're like, oh, I got all these receipts that I made a PDF and I put them in and I got them stored.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But you're going to take time to do that. You're just going to be like, tap, 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 and you're going to be out of there.
Okay. Yeah, they make it too easy, man. Use them cards. And it says, pick a debt repayment plan. We touched on that last week. It was the snowball versus the avalanche strategies.
Yep, the strategies. I like the snowball the best. I like the snowball. And I'll just do a snowball real quick. Pay all the minimum payments to all your cards or all your debts or basic payment that they expect. But then look at the one I would say that's the lowest or with the highest interest rate, right?
Yep.
You look at that one and you say, all right, I'm going to put double on that one.
Okay.
The smallest amount. Knock that out. Then you got whatever debts you got remaining, you put triple.
Okay.
On the next one because you already paid off one.
Yep.
You put triple on that one. And then now you got three times the minimum payment going on that one account.
Going to that principal.
Right? And you pay that one off. And you're like, oh, now I got four payments to put on the next one.
Okay.
Right? Makes sense. You put them four payments on the next one. Now you got five payments for the next one. And that works. I remember working with a young lady. I'm not mentioning her name. She's wanted to buy a house. And I looked at all her credit cards. These balances that I had, let's do the snowball. She's like, I got money. I make money. I work overtime. I got it. And at first, I was laughed at. I said, you sound too overconfident. You're not going to do this. I want this house. I'm going to do it. And she probably texted me or something when she hit it. She's probably like, you was talking about me, weren't you? I was like, yep. But she ended up buying the home and doing a snowball to all the credit cards. Exactly what I said. To my paying a car off, Tony, all the credit cards, everything was gone.
Cool.
She knocked it out in probably like 3 months. It was out of there. All the money she was getting, she was. And she's like, look, I got this. I got this. Look at my score. It went up like this. And we got to the point where she was like, I got to figure out where I'm going to be living. I don't like none of these houses. I said, some new houses over here. You can get one of them with all that money you making. He started laughing. He said, I'm going to do that. End up buying one, right?
Okay.
So I was like, it's just blessed to see somebody that listened and that's living in their space they want to, but just seeing where they were at. And it's always good to see them in their success. That's one thing about social media. You can help somebody, and then you can see how they got married or how they moved out of town or how
right.
they got a job or how they were able to get to the ills of their life and get to a better space because they took some advice that they got from me or you.
Yes.
Right? And that's a fun part for me. That's why
That's
why I'm on social media. I like seeing those things happen to people that ask for advice.
And that was basically, the crust of social media. But, of course, it's like anything else. It's been abused to the point where you start attacking folks and criticizing people and creating beefs or whatever online. So,
or it's I know this is like getting to another topic, but like we got the Mega Millions Powerball, right?
Yeah.
But it's up to $1 billion. But then when you come to social media and all these places, I'm getting all these lottery type of things on my timeline.
Like, mm-hmm.
This person won $50 million. This person won this. They squandered their makings. This person in Detroit was a $1 million scratch off winner, right?
Yeah.
So it's sending all these subliminal messages, but then behind that is scammers that's in those spaces.
Yes, sir. I mean, one is over $1 billion, the Powerball's over $1 billion, Megabucks is not, far behind it.
I'm giving it all away.
Okay.
Well, I got to go with some gas, so I got to go get my couple tickets. Yeah. I'm giving it all away when I win.
And the article says that, these scammers, they do all kind of things to get you sucked in. It says, winning a lottery you have entered is already challenging, but it's entirely impossible to win a lottery you never participated in. Okay? Legitimate lottery winners or organizations do not distribute messages over the internet offering free money in exchange of personal information. So what that says is that it's like, oh, you won. Okay? You won the lottery. But in order to claim
your
prize, we need certain information, right? And for those that get sucked in, and it sounds really far-fetched to us.
Emotions.
But there are so many people out there that think that
green light.
People are, upfront and honest about this kind of stuff and wind up getting burned. And it says, never divulge personal information that could make you vulnerable to identity theft unless you are thoroughly verified the legitimacy of the party requesting the information.
Man.
So it says, scams pop up when the lottery prizes were off the chart. Claims that they've launched a donation program on behalf of her late husband. One pitch said pitches a raffle offering millions to the winnings. But what it's doing is it says you got to give your full name, your email address, your phone number, your occupation in order to qualify.
Oh, they could be you now.
And that's enough information for them
to apply for a loan.
To go in for an identity theft on you.
Yeah,
so
I can find your social security number. I'll make a fake social security card, put in an application for an LLC or something, and end up having their own business in your name.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many things they can do, man. Take your crib. I mean, there's also people out there that are savvy enough to know how to steal your home. And you don't even know.
Right from under you.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, somebody knocking at your door telling you got to get out.
Oh, that's crazy. Man, that's crazy.
Yep, then you got to go.
Speaking of getting out, we got a topic on here. Which countries receive the most foreign aid?
Oh, my
Keep
goodness.
Keep on playing the game. Coach. And we say foreign aid, it's like, I live in America, right?
Okay.
I know that. I know I do. And then every time I see that, somebody sends some millions of dollars and billions of dollars somewhere, not just a one-time purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a revolving payment that's going to countries.
Yeah.
What are some of the payments that's out there?
It's like a welfare countries. System, okay? It says U.S. spent over $50 billion in foreign aid for nearly 200 countries and territories and geographic regions in 2021.
Mm. How much again is that again?
$50 billion.
So that's the Michigan lot. That's the Mega Millions and Powerball 50
what,
times.
50 times?
For each state.
Yes.
Excluding Hawaii.
Okay, excluding Hawaii. So, the breakdown is Israel have received $312.5 billion from the United States.
Over the history of the time.
since we started giving money out since 1950. Vietnam has received $184.5 billion. Egypt, $183.7 billion. Afghanistan, $156 billion. South Korea, $121 billion. Now, when you look at that list, what's missing is the continent of Africa, right?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's where all the natural resources are. We wouldn't have no cell phone one for Africa.
Yeah, and that's what they're worried about now. And we're going to preference these giveaways because what they're trying to do is keep these countries loyal to America. So we're going to pay you for your loyalty.
But then I do want to say this about Africa, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Africa is a continent with small countries inside of it, right? So when you look at that, you think about the Queen, United Kingdom, and all these spaces.
They're all colonized. Yeah.
So then when they colonized, say if you got bauxite, you got lithium, you got gold, you got diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Africa is still got plentiful resources, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what I've been hearing, Tony, is this. When it comes to Africa, oh, they want to, America want to do something with us. The Queen's hand, when she gone, she died,
yep,
is still governing over these spaces where they say, no, you can't sell it to nobody but us. And we only going to pay you this much for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they still paying them cheap prices for these commodities and these natural resources that's worth billions of dollars.
Yes, sir.
When they buy them from the UK, right? Yeah. So when the UK get them from Africa, because they still got them colonized.
Yep.
And they won't let them sell to nobody else. Well, you cut off then. You ain't going to get this if you sell it to them.
Yeah, that's it. Because we control the economy. Basically, and if you remember, you know, all the movies you ever watched, and, you know, in Africa that showed any kind of relationship between white and black, most of those people from Europe.
Yep.
Came out of, you know, Britain.
And that's it. But that was the way to keep it, like, keep that status quo going. So now you're seeing people like Akon, like, hold on, America's come on back, come on back. They only going to be able to go so far, Akon.
Well, China is the country that has decided that they're going to
step over the border.
They're going to spend the money to develop Africa.
Yeah, they stepped over.
And the United States, you know, they talk about the tension between China. It's about trade.
China doing their thing.
Yeah.
I went. When we did the kids' free trip to Africa a couple years ago, I went with PA. Oh, the Chinese was representing.
Oh, yeah.
They were over there. Construction sites, hanging out, eating at the market. They were there.
Yeah, they're getting ready to change the landscape. They're going to develop the infrastructure of, you know, those countries in Africa that has been neglected.
They need it. Sewage systems, all that.
In
certain places, it's real nice, but just you got those spaces in pockets, right? Like, this look good.
Almost third world countries.
Then next door, you're like, hold on, this is
no running water, no lights.
Yeah.
No, you know.
Beautiful beach, but then you're like, oh, it's all this trash over here. Like, so then China, like, looking like, oh, we about to clean this up.
Yeah, we're going to come and develop this, and then we'll be the ones that reap the benefits.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I got no problem with it, man.
When they say this, when they say the Asiatic man, what that mean?
Okay.
Man from Africa and Asia. So don't play. When they know, they like, they're my brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got something. They got resources. They got skill set. We're going to help.
Yeah, because we know for a fact that, you know, that we have neglected and ignored that continent for years other than the colonization of the slave trade.
Yeah, and hit it like this.
Okay.
Here now we getting deep now, you know, so we a minority show. So we talk about the Atlantic slave trade, but you also talk about the Great Migration when they talk about the Africans leaving Africa. The first place they went was Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And the silks was traded for the gold and diamonds, right?
Yeah.
So then when it came to being tribal, the Chinese learned from the African, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Moors on how to be where they at. So when you see the temples and the pyramids, like, oh, China got some of the same type of practices.
Yep.
And then when you go to China, there's people that's got a skin tone just like me and you.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. We can go down that road.
I don't want to get the education because I got Chinese friends, and I know when I need things for my health, they're like, mm-hmm. take this garden, get this turmeric, get this. All holistic stuff. And I'm like, right? And when you connect it, they let you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you own some dumb stuff, they don't want to be bothered with you.
Okay.
I'm just showing love for what I know.
Yeah.
That's all.
Nope, that's so true.
Yep.
We're going to finish up with one more topic, and it's called consumer confidence. And right now, the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index showed a reading of 72.6 on Friday, which says that is the highest level of consumer confidence since 2021.
Oh, yes, it is. And they're talking about the employment, the unemployment rate not being too high.
Oh, no, it's 3%, man. Yeah. That's like zero unemployment. Yeah. If you're looking for a job, you can find one. And that 3%, people not looking.
And they say they want to stabilize it like that. And then people staying on their job.
Right? Yeah.
It's not a lot of high turnover unless you lack skills.
Right. You got to have some skill set.
Unless you want to do something illegal. Like, you're like, I'm going to go to this job that's important and be intoxicated or be under some type of influence. The only way, I think that's what's going on now. It's like, all right, I'm a choice out because they're not going to let me do what I want to do on a job. But other than that, it's like you said, it's at an all-time high. Unemployment is low. Opportunities out there.
Yep, starting to get the inflation back under control. It says the labor market continued to show resiliency with weekly job claims, 237,000 coming in lower than expectations of 250, and lower than the week before was 249. It says last week's June report showed the labor market is cooling with non-farm payroll additions coming in short of expectations for the first time in 15 months. The economists were quickly to note the economy still added 210,000 jobs. The unemployment ticked lower to 3.6, and an average hourly earnings grew 4.4% from the prior years. And it says that the data points a picture of a tighter labor market where Americans have jobs when prices and goods costs decrease. So when they decrease and you get these raises on your job, that gives you more spending power. So that is like the keys to consumer confidence.
Yeah, in other words, rent's going down, all that.
Yeah, used car prices are going down. And the other thing that we got to keep in mind is that in the horizon, there's two major corporations that are slated for some major strikes. UPS, on the verge, and General Motors. Those two companies are staring down the barrel of strikes, and if it happens, those numbers are going to change, and it's going to affect the economy.
It's time for the Postal Service and UPS. We got to figure it out because, like you said, technology has changed the way we do mail.
Yeah, it has, and the Teamsters are saying that the last year, UPS profit was $22 billion. And they're saying that the company is in good financial shape.
Where the money at?
To be offering these higher wages because they got a two-tiered system where both GM does too. Two-tiered system where new employees coming in get this base wage, but those that have been there for a while continue to get the raise that they have. But we know they're going to get phased out through retirement, right? Those folks are going to leave, and General Motors is going to be in a position where they hopefully have a cost advantage over the competition because of the two-tiered. Same with the team, with UPS, because FedEx, Amazon, there's another big one that are their competition.
Yeah, because General Motors is trying to figure out how to cut the cost when it comes to that electric vehicle. So it's like, let's figure out these boomers, when they retire, let's get this money off on the books for production.
Right, and that legacy cost is still there. And that legacy cost is, even before we build a vehicle, there's a cost that's already on the table of probably 8 to 9% that comes from what you're paying those retirees.
Yeah, and it's calculated in the price of each vehicle.
Yeah, it's called a legacy cost, and it's factored in on the production of every vehicle, and that's something else that they're trying to get control of as that legacy.
So that's not
cost.
Even an ashtray, a mirror.
No, it's just, before the first boat goes on,
I can't even
there's
get a
already
decal.
A 10% cost.
I can't get a decal that I paid for, but like as people say, and like the economists say, as you buy products and consumables, you're getting somebody a job and you're helping somebody sustain benefits and insurance and resources. Just by buying products American made.
Yeah, that's it. Buying American made products. Yeah, so for an example, if a car is 50 grand and legacy cost is 10%, that means this 5 grand is already built into the cost of that vehicle. So that's what they're trying to attack, along with keeping these wages in control. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully by next show, we'll have some more information about that.
Well, I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.